Have you ever wanted to better understand philosophy and its impact on today's culture, but didn't know where to begin? Have you struggled to find a biblical approach to the topic? Well, Concordia University, Wisconsin has an exciting, free, online course entitled Catechristen. It's taught by noted Lutheran philosopher, Dr. Gregory Schultz. Find out more about this free online course for professional church workers and lay people by clicking the Catechristen logo at issuesetc.org.
I believe we need to protect access to safe and legal abortion, not just in principle, but in practice. Any right that requires you to take extraordinary measures to access it is no right at all. Not when patients and providers have to endure harassment and intimidation just to walk in to a health center. Not when making an appointment means taking time off from work, finding childcare, and driving halfway across your state. Not when providers are required by state law to recite misleading information to women in order to shame and scare them. And not as long as we have laws on the book like the Hyde Amendment, making it harder for low-income women to exercise their full rights.
That's Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton speaking last week at Southern New Hampshire University. She seems rather animated about the Hyde Amendment. She considers it bad law, I think it's safe to say. The Hyde Amendment, of course, stands in the way of federal funding, much of federal funding for abortion. She wants to do away with it. And there's a lot to say about everything else she said there in her comments as she was speaking at the university. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Monday afternoon, the 18th of January. Wesley Smith will join us here to talk about both those statements and the Hyde Amendment from presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, and also a recent pro-euthanasia ruling by the Canadian Supreme Court. A little bit later, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller joins us. We'll be responding to an evangelical cliche. Today, it's denominations are just labels. Now, you can join us with your questions or your comments over the next hour. Our call in number 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. comment line open 24/7, 618-223-8382. Wesley Smith joins us to respond to Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton's statement on the Hyde Amendment. He's senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism, author of two recent columns for National Review Online, Hillary Clinton's Pro-Abortion Nightmare, and Canadian Supreme Court Conjures Right to Be Dead. Wesley, welcome back.
Hey, Todd. Happy New Year. And by the way, you've been having me on your show for many years, and I just wanted to thank you for all that support over that time.
Oh, we're happy to do it. The pleasure is purely ours and our listeners, no doubt about that. You kind of summarize everything that we heard there just a moment ago from candidate Clinton, saying that we are watching in her a move, at least a public move, from pro-choice to pro-abortion. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, well, you're beginning to see increasingly advocacy in the media and now among a presidential candidate to basically eschew the idea that abortion is a difficult situation and it should be safe, legal, and rare. Remember the term rare? Because there was a moral component. What is being argued today is that there is no moral component, and in fact, the only moral component in current law are the restrictions that are placed on an absolute access to free abortion. So Hillary Clinton has said that she wants it to be safe and legal, not safe, legal, and rare, which was her husband's term during his presidency. And she wants it free because the Hyde Amendment is sort of a comity that allows people who are pro-life not to have their federal tax money pay for abortions. It's something that is passed every year as part of the budgetary process. And if you did away with the Hyde Amendment, then federal money would be available under Medicaid to pay for abortions. And that idea of, well, okay, it's legal, but at least I don't have to pay for it, will go away. She also, at other places, has basically said that abortion should be available up until, she didn't say through the ninth month, but she said close to the end of gestation. So I'm real sure that Hillary Clinton would support it being legal for a woman to abort a viable baby.
All right. The other thing you note here is that she not only wants federal funding. I noticed this. She said when you have to make an appointment, take off work, make arrangements for child care, and then driveway halfway across your state. You know, there are all sorts of things that are very legal and that are actually rights that are in the medical realm where people do that every single day.
Right. Well, it's and when we talk about Canada, you'll see the same thing. She's basically moving towards, although she's not actually saying the words, but a positive right to have an abortion. That means that it isn't just legal, which is the case now, but that the state has to guarantee you easy access to it. And that may include, as it does in Australia, the state of Victoria, Australia, that every doctor must participate in abortion when asked or refer to a doctor they know will. No medical conscience allowed. That is the law of Australia, the state of Victoria. That is what would be required if abortion went from being legal to a positive right, meaning guaranteed access. And once the state is going to guarantee access to that kind of procedure, there will be coercion involved, and it will also bring up concepts of religious liberty. And we're beginning to see those conflicts right now in the context of the Little Sisters of the Poor, the nuns who are being the Obama administration is trying to force to cover contraception, which is against Catholic dogma, and in these other birth control cases. And I'm convinced that these early birth control religious liberty litigation cases are stalking horses for abortion if Hillary Clinton and people who think like her get their way, and euthanasia and assisted suicide, perhaps sometime after that.
How do you explain the doubling down? There was probably Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion provider, took a PR hit, maybe one of only its first PR hits ever, in a real sense, this last year, with the release of a dozen or so undercover videos that showed them trafficking in baby body parts, and yet candidates like Hillary Clinton doubling down.
Well, because a couple of things have happened. First, with regard to the Planned Parenthood situation, I wrote a piece in the Weekly Standard in which I predicted this would occur, that there would be immediate outrage. We saw that with Kevorkian and some other such controversies, followed by justification. And then the media now says that those videos were, quote, discredited, close quote, when they haven't been discredited. I mean, they were certainly edited for time, but the people who put out those videos also put out the entire rough video, so you could see that it was not actually, you know, made to look like one thing when it was something else. Excuse me. And secondly, I've been writing for the last couple of years that some advocates are getting really upset, pro-abortion advocates, because of the ability of the pro-life movement over decades to use Roe v. Wade, which set up that three-trimester system, to create some restrictions in state law on the abortion license. And the argument is being increasingly made to not even use the term pro-choice, but to embrace abortion as a positive good for women, and to approach the Ruth Bader Ginsburg analysis, Supreme Court Justice, that says that privacy is not the grounds for legalized abortion, but equal protection. And once you decided that equal protection was the grounds for the abortion right, then there would be no way to limit it and regulate it. And that, I believe, has become the goal of the pro-abortion movement, not just choice, not just legality, but the ability to have free and unrestricted access as a matter of guaranteeing women's equality in the workplace and in the world.
The thing that ramps this issue up considerably is the fact that a candidate like Hillary Clinton is running for president, and presidents appoint Supreme Court justices. What are your thoughts there?
Oh, well, yeah, because right now, this is just Smith on this. You know, I'm not involved in abortion jurisprudence, but I've talked to people in the pro-life movement. I've read some of the cases. My belief is, considering who's on the court now, that you might be one vote away from a reversal of Roe v. Wade, but not the way pro-lifers want. I believe that if Hillary Clinton gets one or two very liberal votes to replace conservative votes on the court, you could see a reversal of Roe v. Wade in the sense of a pro-abortion approach, meaning that not just the privacy issue, but the equal protection issue, so that there would be no limitations permitted. And remember that Roe v. Wade was intended to end the debate. It did not do that. So I think it's going to be back to the drawing board if Hillary Clinton or people like her ever get to appoint a couple more Supreme Court justices, particularly if they replace people like Antonin Scalia or Clarence Thomas.
So in other words, ensconcing in American jurisprudence from the Supreme Court the positive right to abortion. How far is that?
I think that is what Ruth Bader Ginsburg wants. I would bet that the four liberals, as they're called on the court, which vote as a bloc, would go along with that if they had that opportunity. I don't think that the other five justices would go along with that, but if you replace Kennedy or Roberts or Scalia with another Ruth Bader Ginsburg, younger version, or two, I think you would be able to get that kind of a positive right to abortion in the same way that you now have a positive right to same-sex marriage. And in the same way that in Canada, they're creating a positive right to euthanasia, their Supreme Court.
I want to come back to something that part of this nightmare scenario that seems to extend even beyond simply the horrors of what we talked about, and that, as you mentioned earlier, an attempt to require physicians to perform abortions when asked or to refer to someone who will. At this point, what is a doctor legally required to do if a woman comes to him?
At this point in the United States, no doctor can be forced to participate in an abortion or an assisted suicide. That's protected in law, and that's a consequence of abortion being legal but not a positive right. You are beginning to see medical groups say that there should not be this kind of conscience protection, that patients' rights should prevail on these issues, and that a doctor should be duty-bound to either do it or refer, meaning they'd be complicit, to find a doctor who would do it. As I mentioned earlier, that's the law of Victoria, Australia. That looks like it's going to become the law of around euthanasia and abortion in Canada during this year. So that is not the law currently in the United States, but I think people need to be aware that medical conscience needs to be protected. The right to say no to taking human life, no matter what the state of the law is in concerning assisted suicide or euthanasia. And I believe that right of doctors right now is under material threat.
And I can only imagine what that would mean. I mean, we're talking about not just freedom of conscience in a neutral sense. We're talking about it extends into religious liberty and free exercise.
Absolutely. Because I mean, do you think that Hillary Clinton would not want Obamacare to cover free abortion if she could do it? Right now, abortion is not covered by Obamacare generally, but if you had the kind of majority that existed in this country in 2009 and 2010, are you saying you don't think that she would try to get that done? I believe she would.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we got another subject to deal with Wesley Smith, a recent pro-euthanasia ruling by the Canadian Supreme Court. He's mentioned here several times. We'll get into that subject with Wesley Smith, senior fellow at the Discovery Institute's Center on Human Exceptionalism, author of two recent columns for National Review Online, Hillary Clinton's pro-abortion nightmare, and Canada's Supreme Court conjures right to be dead. Stay tuned.
Did they tear it out with talons of steel and give you a shot so that you wouldn't feel and washed it away as if it wasn't real?
Shine with her a bright, a troll, a light, a blue. Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Wesley Smith is our guest. Moving on to the subject of a recent pro-euthanasia ruling by the Canadian Supreme Court. Wesley, you say that this is a Canada on the verge of, as you say, instituting the most radical culture of death in the world. That is saying a lot.
Yeah, it really is saying a lot, but I'm afraid it's true. The Canadian Supreme Court took a case that had ruled 5-4 back in the 90s that there was no charter right, that's equivalent to our Constitution, to euthanasia and assisted suicide, and reversed it 9-0. Nothing had changed in the law, just that the judges decided this is what they wanted to have done. And they said that euthanasia should be available to anyone with a diagnosable medical condition that causes irremediable suffering. But you then have to look at how they defined these terms. Irremediable suffering includes psychological pain specifically in the ruling. It includes cases that could be easily alleviated in terms of suffering, but the patient would rather die than take treatment to alleviate the suffering. It includes disability. It will include mental illness because mental illness is a diagnosable medical condition. And so you have Canada starting where Belgium already is. In Belgium, the mentally ill are killed and harvested for their organs with consent. Elderly couples in Belgium, by the way, are euthanized if they ask for it, not because they're sick, but if they fear widowhood. You've had a transsexual person euthanized because the person was unhappy with the sex change surgery. You've had a woman who was taken advantage of by her psychiatrist sexually, who when she turned him over to the authorities and he wasn't punished, she had another psychiatrist euthanize her. That's how bad things are getting over in Belgium. And in the Netherlands, you have about 40 to 50 mentally ill people euthanized a year. They're killing elderly people who are, quote, tired of life. Chronic illnesses, disabling illnesses, as well as terminal illnesses. Now they're about to, in the Netherlands, start allowing euthanasia of dementia patients if they asked for it while they were competent. In Canada, the reason that that's where they're starting. And what's making it more radical is what we were discussing earlier. That is that you now have the Medical Associations of Canada, they call them the medical colleges, and the Canadian Medical Association basically saying that doctors will all have to participate in this if asked, or if they have a religious objection or a moral objection, they will have to become what I call death pimps by going out and finding a doctor willing to kill. Now, these laws are not in concrete yet because the court gave the parliament a year and they just extended it to set up the rules, but that's the way it's going to be if the medical associations get their way. You have doctors saying that their colleagues with a religious objection to euthanasia will have to participate. I mean, I call it medical martyrdom, because if they don't, then there could be potentially medical professional consequences, professional punishment. That's already happened in Australia, where a doctor refused to refer for a sex selection abortion and suffered medical professional discipline because of that. So in the Canadian, in fact, in the ruling in which the court said we're giving an extension, they talked about Canadian patients exercising this right. That means it's more than euthanasia is legal if a doctor agrees to do it. There will be no punishment of the doctor. It is a right to be made dead. That means it's a positive right. That means the government has to guarantee access to it. And by the way, it will be free under Canada's socialized medicine. Quebec, which already has euthanasia, just started in a law separate from that Canadian Supreme Court. You had a palliative care center announce a few months ago, we're not going to euthanize patients on our facility. And the Minister of Health of Quebec said, I'm paraphrasing, oh, yes, you are. And guess what? They are. So you're seeing this thing moving from it's legal to there's a guaranteed access right, which means the government will have to engage in coercion to make sure everyone has access to the right to be dead, assuming they get the diagnosed condition.
Wesley Smith is Senior Fellow at the Discovery Institute's Center on Human Exceptionalism. He's author of two recent columns for National Review, Hillary Clinton's Pro-Abortion Nightmare and Canada's Supreme Court Conjures Right to Be Dead. You can read both of them and other articles by Wesley Smith at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Wesley, thank you very much for being our guest.
Now you see why I'm so much fun at parties.
When we come back, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will join us. He joins us every week to respond to an evangelical cliche. On this Monday, January the 18th, the cliche that we're taking up, and you've heard this in many different forms. It comes from all over the place, not only from evangelicalism. Denominations are just labels. We'll respond to it right after this. Standing firm in a hostile world is the theme of the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, February 5th and 6th. This confessional Lutheran conference features Issues Etc. guest Adam Francisco, David J. Weber, Joe Abrahamson, attorney Mark Stern, and Professor Alan Quist. If you are in Texas or would like some warmer weather in February, check out the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, February 5th and 6th at faithlutheransa.org. faithlutheransa.org.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Greetings in Christ, and thank you for listening to Issues Etc. If you ever find yourself visiting the Smoky Mountains in East Tennessee, please join us here at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Sevierville. We see it as a small part of our service to the church to provide sound liturgical worship opportunities for vacationing Lutherans to our area. For worship times and directions, please visit our website at splctn.com. That's splctn.com.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the Scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.